You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome back to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. We're brought to you by Pelican, built tough for all situations. Go to pelican.com. Yak Gadget, for all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com. Eastport Marina, on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake, for all your lodging, kayaking, and fishing needs, go to eastport.info.
Now let's get this show started.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Reel Down on Paddle and Fin. If you're watching it here, you can see that my co-host, Jimmy, is not here this week. I have Armando Salah. How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good, man. How you doing? Filling in once again for good old Jimmy.
Yeah, thank you for doing that.
But we have that sexy red beer, ginger beer that he has. So sorry to apologies to the ladies that were hoping to see that.
But you just got back from ICAST, huh?
I did. I just got back from ICAST. Had a great time. I was out there. Speaking of Jimmy and Brian Chiller.
Anything that just blew your mind?
Not really. There wasn't anything that stood out like previous years. I saw some cool stuff. You know, Livingstone Lures, I'm a huge fan of them. And they have that thing where you can order either your I love their spook, but the spook crankbait or square bill or jerkbait with, instead of having like the beads that you usually, knocking beads that you usually see on typical on moving, swimming or moving bait, it has a recording and you can customize the recording depending on, you know, what type of lake you're fishing. I think they have like five or six different recordings on there. That I thought that was pretty cool. Like, I've used Livingstone lures and I kind of knew that, you know, how it works, but I didn't know that you can actually customize it. So I thought that was pretty cool. Shimano came up with some amazing reels. What else? The new canoe built off the Romel, and I forgot the name of the other gentleman with the.
Yeah, it was Fletch from Westbrook.
Yeah, Westbrook Supplies. That was pretty cool. And then on the negative side, I got to see the Trident.
Oh, Lord.
That's a piece of crap. I don't know. I call it the spatula, but anyways.
It looked like it was made out of garbage cans, industrial garbage cans.
It is a garbage can, in my opinion. I usually try to go the positive, on that one.
You feel bad for the guy. He must have some money to get a product that far and to push it into ICAST, spend all that money on something that somebody should have got it through his head, dude. This you can't paddle with your feet, and this thing is bullshit. You need to go ahead and cut your losses, man.
Yeah, getting bad advice there, but hey. Yeah,
it is what it is. But I saw something by, I forget the name of it, but G-Rat. It's a company, a bait company I never even heard before.
Oh, yeah, I saw a little bit of them, yeah.
Yeah, they came out with a wake bait where you could put like a swim bait back on it.
Yeah.
I thought that was actually a really good idea. So,
yeah, I saw that one too. Oh, the I forgot the Z-Man Hellraiser. I'm really excited to try that thing. Anything that Z-Man does, I'm a big fan of. I mean, it looks pretty cool. Top water thing. I don't know. Hey, if it catches fish.
But
it'll get bass attention though. It'll get bass's attention.
I'm sure there has to be some perfect situation where it's going to be like, man, this was the deal this one time in my life. But like, I keep my tackle and everything so simple that I don't have anything that absolute niche that I keep, you know. Oh, I'm blowing up here. Oh, Lord. I'm sorry. So, yeah, I usually don't keep baits there that specific like that. But, yeah. But anything else going on in your life, man?
Not much, man. If you haven't listened to my podcast, I fell from the Crescent Sholi twice on iCast.
That's kind of embarrassing. If you haven't, go back and listen to Armando and Brian's show from yesterday, Bass Kayak and Beers.
Yeah, so you can listen to the full story, how I fell twice into the water.
So Sholis are not all that, you know, 100% stable.
Yeah, they're not very stable.
Yeah. I saw some other stuff with some in the Crescent Owners group where there's some other issues. I'm not talking bad about it. I've never seen one or been in one, but I know there's some, you know, just some things going on with them. Maybe they need to address, but we'll go ahead and get started tonight. We're talking to the guys from the Michigan Kayak Trail. They were on Kent Lake and surrounding rivers. We're going to try having Jeremiah Kraft on. He won. He's been going in and out here having some technical issues, but hopefully he's able to get on. But we also have Mike Kakowski, second place.
Ooh, I think you nailed it. Yeah.
All right. Welcome to the show, man. Thank you for being on.
What's up, guys?
How you doing, Mike? Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, and we got all three of us Hobie guys, but y'all are two bougie 360 guys, so.
Oh, what Hobie do you use, Dan? I thought you got the 360. We talked about that.
No, bro. I like my kayaks to work. I got a 180.
I'm on 180? The Hobie team, so.
Say what?
I'm on the Hobie team, so I got the 360.
Yeah.
Haven't had any problems with it yet, so.
Armando says you think it's just maintenance. Like,
go ahead. I'm sorry. I interrupted.
No, go ahead.
You actually asked me, and about a week later, I forgot to message you. The drive did broke. It did have the plastic ball bearings on it. So I was fishing a lake, and it got windy. But it was manageable. That's what I love about the Hobie. You know, the wind was manageable. But at one point, I guess I was right over a shallow rock. And when the wave passed me, that boat came by. So the wave went even up a little bit higher. So when he came down, the back of the wave, the paddle just hit straight down, and it caught the front end of it. So it kind of pushed it to one side, and I almost couldn't make it back. So I was all the way across the lake, and I had like 50 mile per hour winds hitting me right in the face. And that thing kept getting stuck and stuck. When I finally made it to the boat ramp, I lifted the drive up, and I noticed that, you know, it had some damage. And when I flipped it over, the ball bearings came off. The plastic ball bearings they have, what needle bearings, I think they call it, drop off. Then I was like, oh, crap. And so I immediately went to Anglers Pro here in DFW. By the way, if you're from the DFW area, go to Anglers Pro. Great service. That was on a Friday. They sent the request for Hobie. They answered 20 minutes later, and they sent a brand new drive. And by Wednesday, I had a brand new drive. You know, they don't work on the weekend. So, and I had the new one. The new updated drive is amazing. Looks amazing. And now I've only had it for a month now. I use it like 6 or 7 times, but so far it's definitely an upgrade from the old drive.
And that's not like, you know, I have a Hobie. I think it's amazing. You know, it's just whenever a Hobie 360 does have issues, they always fix it.
Yep.
I've never heard anybody say where a claim was denied. They absolutely take care of it. It's just, I because my shop's 2.5 hours away, I'd be worried about, you know, the amount of travel time to get down there. I lose a whole day going down there and back.
Yeah, 4 hours.
That's the only reason. And, you know, it's tough for me because they're also in Eastern time zone because they're right on the border. So it makes it tough for me to get down there. So that's the only reason I hadn't. But, I mean, 360 is obviously the best kayak on the market. So
I agree.
Yeah, not talking bad about them at all.
No, not at all.
So, but both of y'all have 14s too, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. All right. Is that so? You have XI3 on the front?
I do.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
I got 720.
The what? I'm sorry.
The Hobie 720, not the 360. It's just 720.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
Makes sense. Are there any issues? I mean, you don't look like a heavier guy like me. Do you ever have any issues having all that weight on the front? I don't know anybody that, like, in my area that has a, you know, the spot lock on the front like that.
No, I haven't had any issues. I've been in some pretty rough water where I take water over the front. And, I mean, it's not fun, but I haven't had any issues other than that. Might ride a little bit low, but no issues. I take on a little bit of water. I'm not sure where it's coming from, but it's not a lot. Usually a sponge, wring it out a couple times, and it's good.
I saw something where somebody had, I'm not trying to air OB dirty laundry here. It's just concern I had whenever I looked at it. Like, ain't some water getting into the rod tubes? Yeah.
Yeah, but it's, I don't think that's a big issue like mine. You have, like, you have the built-in rod tubes, right? So they do have a cover on it, I think. At least the Outback had a cover. I think the PA-14, I think I took mine off because it's just a nuisance just trying to put stuff there and all of a sudden it's covered and you'll have to turn around and move the plastic away. But, I mean, it's not a big issue. It's only like 2 or 3 ounces of water inside the tube. It's not that it's going into the hole.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I saw some places,
I wouldn't trade it.
Did leak, but I, you know, that's fine.
Well, it's molded in, so I don't know how it can. I wouldn't know how it's going to leak because it's part of the mold.
Yeah, at the end of the rod tube, there would be a hole at the end of the rod tube.
Oh, the horizontal rod tubes, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I've never had an issue with that. No.
Well, he has all the weight on the front from the XI3.
Oh.
Water comes over the bow. Enough water sits in the front. And because of that weight on the front, whenever you go down, the water goes into the rod tubes. Rod tubes leak.
Oh, okay.
Water in the hole. I'm a fat guy. I couldn't have all that weight on the front. That's why I have a Newport.
It's just more of you, Dan. That's why we love it.
There's more to love, man. Yeah. Man, thank you for being on show. Congrats on tournament. I guess our boy ain't going to be able to get on here. That sucks because he won a Native Slayer, right? Isn't that what he won for it?
He did.
That's pretty crazy for a grassroots style trail to win that much. And you won, you said, a grand, right?
1,000 for second place. And then I won 680 for Big Bass plus, we had a cash sponsor for Big Bass. So I won an extra 250, so I walked away with $1,930.
Nice. Wow. That's not bad at all.
Yeah. I'll go over the numbers here. There was it was on Kent Lake and surrounding rivers. It said 67 anglers. Jeremiah got first with 90.5. Mike, you got second with 90.25. I mean, you were right there. And Rob Baginski, he got third with 88. And I didn't look at yours, but whenever I was looking up Rob for some reason, I saw his tourney stats. He couldn't be on the show because he had a work thing tonight. That dude's tourney X is pretty freaking ridiculous.
He is a dick. Every time he enters a tournament, everyone is worried about him.
Yeah, I believe it's looking at that. He has like a he listed out all the tournaments he's done well. It's a long list, let's say that. But man, tell us about Kent Lake and the surrounding rivers, like kind of what waters that is, what all that encompasses.
Well, Kent Lake itself is a very weedy lake. They have a speed limit on it. I think the speed limit's supposed to be 10 miles an hour, so the kayakers are pretty safe out there. I personally have never done good out there. This was my third time fishing out there and first time catching a bass.
Wow.
So I never had it figured out. I just kind of went with my gut. But I'm a terrible river fisherman. I think I've fished rivers maybe 2 times not done great, so I decided I was going to head out to Kent Lake. But the surrounding rivers, you could have fished within a 50-mile radius of our check-in, which was right at Kent Lake. And we had some guys go all the way to the boundaries. I guess there's some really good river fishing around here that I wouldn't really know too much about.
Yeah. The man with XI3, it usually isn't hitting them, huh? But I mean, maybe you have a Lynx or something, you know, I mean, if you're on the Hobie team.
I don't yet. I plan on it, but not yet. I just have 2 360s right now.
2 360s. Oh, my God.
Oh, he's got two of them. Watch out.
Mr. Fancy guy here.
Why two?
I'm trying to figure out how to hook them together so I can just take one out with both of them.
There you go. Is the other one like a 12?
No, it's a 14 also. It's just blue.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Just a backup.
Oh, huh? Well, you just wanted different colors depending on the mood. Yeah. Well, let's be nice, Mike.
Yeah, that's a hell of a buddy boat.
Yeah.
Yep.
Can I be your buddy, Mike? Can I?
Sure. Come on up.
Are you running like a crazy graph on there too?
I have a Garmin 10-inch UHD.
Okay. Yeah, LiveScope.
No, I don't think I'm going to get LiveScope. I've been going back and forth about it, but it's just I already have enough on the kayak.
Yeah.
I started kayak fishing for the simplicity, and it's no longer very simple. So,
I agree, man. I keep my stuff so efficient and streamlined. It would be hard for me to add that. I've kind of thought because I have like the Yak Gadget version. It's the triple item mounting plate. But also like the Tim Percy one, I thought maybe if I did, I could put the Hummingbird 360, like put it on a mount that goes up and down, kind of like just a motor where it just hinges at one place and goes up and down, so I could put in the water whenever I wanted to. I thought it wouldn't be like so far back that it would be an issue, but if it just went down and was on a magnet to where it stayed there. I've been bouncing this around in my head trying to figure out 360, but having all that stuff on the side, like I used to have like the switchblade whenever I had a new canoe pursuit and you put the switchblade over side for a transducer. I hated that some bitch, like always picking up weeds and everything. Yeah, I hate all that. So,
yeah. I mean,
yeah.
You gotta go ahead. I'm sorry, Mike. I interrupted.
I often have guys come by me and, you know, the guys in the boats, and they laugh at you like, oh, you're in a stupid little kayak. You shouldn't be out here. And, you know, in the back of my head, I'm just thinking, I wish that I didn't pay more for my kayak than you did your boat.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Do you get up in Ohio, do you get a lot of people just kind of like boaters, just kind of like giving you like the stink eye, like the snobbish look, like, oh, look, a kayaker, get that toy out of here kind of thing?
Yes.
Really?
I'm from Michigan, but yeah.
Michigan, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Up here. I mean, it's still kind of a big deal. People don't really understand it yet. It's definitely catching on, though. But, you know, a lot of times I'll go to a lake and they act like it's the first time they've ever seen somebody fish out of a kayak before.
Really? That's interesting. Like, I've heard the stories and all that. I've never had a problem here in Texas with that. Never. Most of the time, if they see me fishing, they'll ask me, do you want me to go around you, behind you? Where are you casting? I'm like, dude, just whatever you want to do. Like, if you want to, you know, whatever is easiest for you, I'm not picking. Unless I'm fishing a tournament, then I'll be like, you know, I got this spot. If you don't mind, go behind me. But I usually get a lot of compliments. That may just be, there's a big kayak fishing community here in Texas as well. I mean, we got way too many tournaments going on right now.
Ours is kind of in the middle. Like you don't see, well, like it definitely, it's crazy because so many people bass fish. It still hasn't caught on that much, but because unless it's a tournament, I pretty much never see another kayak angler out.
Really?
No, but bass boats, they don't mess with us too much here. Hadn't really been a problem.
What were you going to say, Mike? I think I cut you off for a second there.
I don't remember.
All right. So Mike, tell us what worked for you on that lake. Like, did you got a chance to pre-fish it?
I pre-fished it about 3 weeks before, just because, like I said, actually my first ever tournament was on that lake. Couldn't catch a fish or a bass anyway. And that was the last time I fished it until 3 weeks ago. I tried it out again. Again, I could only catch pike, and I went and checked out some rivers, caught a couple small bass, and realized that, you know, I'll take my chances out on the lake. And I had this game plan for 3 weeks that I was just going to throw worms, nothing else, just worms. And I ended up not catching a fish until 8:30, which is when I caught the big fish, the 20-inch. And I caught that on a drop shot, but I was kind of fishing it untraditional way. I was casting it up shallow, where it was only under the water about 3 inches, and I was just putting it right next to some lily pads. All right, I think I figured it out now. So I went out a little deeper and started just throwing a drop shot in heavy weeds. And before I knew it, they were just thumping it. It was a struggle because they'd keep getting down in the weeds, and, you know, I'm only using 8-pound test. But it was working, so I lost a key fish that would have helped me upgrade, but I'm not used to fishing in the lead, and I took the lead at about 10 o'clock, and I made the mistake of looking at the leaderboard, so the whole rest of my day was just ruined. I couldn't have a good time. I was just stressing out about it, and Jeremiah actually beat me with 20 minutes left. He caught a 19 and upgraded like 2 inches and beat me by a quarter inch. So my buddy Brett just would not let it go. He kept saying, quarter inch, man, just a quarter inch. So now I'm going to be going into our state championship. Hopefully have a little chip on my shoulder.
Let me ask you this, Mike, because I went through a similar situation, and I've always used that as a learning experience. I was fishing a lake, and I came from behind, and the last 2 hours, I took the lead. And to me, it was on my fish. Like, I only caught 5 fish. And it was just a sense of, like, damn, monkeys off my shoulder. You know, like, finally, I'm at the lead. I finally catch my fish, you know, because they were – just spread it out throughout the day. It was like, I catch one, 2 hours later, I catch the second one, 2 hours later, I catch the third one, and so on and so forth. So to me, I think my downfall was I kind of I didn't stop fishing, but I definitely did not have the intensity that I had looking for that fish. You know, it was like I left the pedal off the gas, so to speak, was, what was it about you watching the leaderboard that affected you mentally and cost and could have cost you the, you know, the win?
Well, I think that normally I'm not in the lead, so I didn't really know how that would feel. But it just stressed me out, and I felt like I was in a panic the whole rest of the time. You know, I might have been moving a little too quick after that. If I didn't look at the leaderboard, I would have been fishing a lot more laid back. And that's been my issue the last couple of years, is I feel like I'm always in a hurry. You know, oh, there's only 6 more hours left, I better hurry up, or there's only 2 more hours left. So I think that it just kind of put the pressure on. I told everyone beforehand, I told them that I really wanted to win a tournament here. And I've been fishing really well this year. I'm actually tied for first in the Angler of the Year right now.
Oh, that's congratulations.
I knew that I needed to upgrade and finish really good on this one. So when I saw that I took first, because at the beginning of the day, I did not think that it was even an option, because it took me so long to catch my first one. Everyone else around me was catching them. And then when I went out deeper, there was probably 10 guys surrounding me and nobody else was catching them, just me. So, and I think that was just because I was completely laid back, fishing slow, doing what I planned on doing. And then when I took the lead, I kind of put it on crunch time and rushed it a little bit.
So would you say you work like, that's interesting, because that's the opposite of what happened to me. Like, to me, and this is just me, everybody's different, I feel like I work better under pressure. If I'm pressured to, like, I need, you know, if I'm behind the leaderboard, then I'm pressured to, like, I need to catch fish. So I feel like I'm more focused. Now, to me, that was the first time that I grabbed the leader in the tournament. And it was just like, oh, yeah, you know, I can, you know, tone it down a bit. And that was my mistake. I'm completely sure that's what cost me that tournament. For you, it's different. For you, it's like you fish better when the pressure, when you feel you're not pressured.
Right. Yeah.
That's cool.
I've been telling myself to just go out and have fun and, you know, don't stress about it. Just have fun. But when that happened, I started stressing about it. I wanted it really bad, and I'm just a stubborn Pollock, so I had to finish what I started.
Well, life lessons, definitely, and no shame in that.
Yep.
Is it? Because I was thinking there'd probably be smallmouth too. Is it just all three? All in the top three is all largemouth. Is there not smallmouth lake?
They're in the spring, there's smallmouth in there, and then they head up into the river during the summer. A lot of the river guys, they were all catching smallmouth, but
gotcha.
I don't know. The rivers around here must be a little different, because I've seen some river smallmouth from Tennessee and everything, and they're just built a little different.
Yeah. Cool. That, do you want to give up the kind of worm you were throwing?
Sure. It was Aaron's Magic Robo Worm.
I went 6 inch straight too?
It was the 4 inch, actually.
Oh, okay.
But I went through 3 packs of those, and when I ran out of that, all my big bites stopped. So I started throwing on everything else I had, and they were working, just not like the Robo Worm was.
Why does purple work?
I don't know, man. It's crazy, right?
It's so stupid.
It's like there's nothing out there in the water that's that color. Like, yeah. Why does it work?
like green, you know, we have brim there, kind of like green pumpkin, and they have purple in it, but not just purple or pink. I've never gotten that. I have them too, you know, triple margarita mutilator and all the purple and pinks. I've got them, but yeah, I don't get it.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I always hear people talking about in the summer throwing June bug colors.
Yep.
But again, I don't understand why, but I'll throw it.
If it's biting, it's on their terms pretty much. That's what they want. We'll oblige.
It's got to be a brim deal, right? Like brim beds. You would think it's got to be some kind of brim, but
must be.
Go ahead, Armando.
What were the different methods you caught them? Did you caught them all on drop shot you mentioned, or different techniques?
All on drop shot.
All on drop shot. Wow. Crazy. Yep. What is your setup for drop shot, including line? If you don't mind me asking,
I use 15 pound Power Pro
braid,
and then to an 8 pound Seaguar leader, and then I have a St. Croix tournament with a Shimano Nasi reel.
What's the the specifics? What was that?
The rod is a medium light, extra fast.
Yeah, I figured. How long?
6'11", I believe.
Oh, so you're just dropping it straight below you, just standing on top of it.
I was actually finding little pockets of where there wasn't any weeds, and I was just launching it in there from, I don't know, 50 feet away.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it just the sun was up, so they were like around lily pads and thick in cover because of the sun, or?
You know, I don't know. I would imagine. So the water was about 80 degrees, which up here, that's pretty warm.
Yeah, that's warm.
So I figured that they'd be just buried in the weeds. And the weeds were so thick, you really couldn't just get through them unless you were using a punching setup.
Yeah.
So I figured if I could just get right up next to them, that maybe that would work. So I did about a 2 foot drop from the weight to the hook. And apparently that was exactly where it needed to be, because I would even throw it out there and just look at my phone for a few minutes. And next thing I know, there's a fish on.
Dude, that's pretty ballsy using an 8 pound test line on that vegetation, man. That's pretty ballsy. Credit to you for that.
I knew that. Like I said, I had about 10 guys surrounding me. They were all watching me, trying to figure out what I was doing. So I knew that nobody else was going to throw that. So I just kept sticking to it, but I'd leave my line down low so nobody could see what I was throwing, and it ended up working, so I was going to stick with it.
How do you, because I am definitely a no drop shot pro, how do you decide how long your leader should be, you know, from your hook to your weight? Two foot, I guess 2 foot in the summer is probably pretty standard. To me, I would think in the winter, you're smaller, summer, bigger, they suspend a little bit more. Is that kind of?
I mean, the way that I always do it is I estimate how tall the weeds are.
Yeah, okay.
And I try to go just above them, but these weeds were probably 9 feet tall. Wow. So I was just kind of guessing. I knew that the ones in the lily pads, I knew that they were going to be up right underneath the pads. So I tried to get it up higher, right under the water surface. For me, they just didn't want to hit anything that was moving. So I figured just keep it right in front of their face and they should hit it. It worked.
Definitely. Did you use, to avoid getting snagged, did you just went to a drop shot hook, or were you Texas rigging it?
I was just using a drop shot hook. It got annoying, but again, it was working. So I just stuck with it. I thought about you know, rigging it weedless, trying to figure out how to rig it weedless anyways. But I figured that might take a little action away from it.
Yeah.
So I, like I said, I'd just find those little pockets and I'd just wiggle the tip like it was a shaky head or something.
All right.
Great stuff. How confident were you when you decided to go to a drop shot? Like, at any point, you like, okay, I may get him on this, or this, like, this is my last attempt. If I'm not catching him this, then, you know, I'm screwed kind of thing.
I've always been pretty confident in a drop shot. And on my, there's a lake right down the road that I'll go out there any time of the year with a drop shot. And so that's one of my confidence baits. I've had a lot of experience fishing that in heavy cover like that. So I've talked to many people who would never do that. So I figured if I found that, if that pattern was going to work, then I'd be looking pretty good because I'm the only one crazy enough to give it a shot. So
yeah, it's crazy.
That's what Mike is catching chicken, not me. Yeah.
That's why you have $1,900 more dollars than what I do. So, well, man, that's awesome. I hate Jeremiah wasn't able to get on here, but you know, we got a lot of great information and you were right there too. So we'll just say you were the winner for the night. Everybody else will know. Man, you're on the Hobie team to, you know, say hi, you know, shout out anybody. It makes fishing easier for you.
Gull Lake Marine, they're my team sponsor, and I mean, they've been awesome to me. They're kind of, I was on the Summit Sports team last year, and then they're gone. Oh. So I got fortunate enough to get on with Gull Lake Marine, and they have been nothing but awesome. They make sure that I have everything I need, and I'm always good to go. So,
On the Hobie fishing team, are you through the dealer or are you directly on the Hobie fishing team with Hobie?
Through the dealer.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
What's next for you? And you said you tied for first place. How many tournaments you got left and to wrap up the angle of the year?
We just have our state championship left.
And that's it.
I mentioned how bad I am at rivers, and our championship is on the Grand River.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Time to get that Lynx, man, and go hit it.
Yeah. I'll have to call up Gull Lake and see if they'll let me loan one.
There you go. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. You know, it's not looking. Hey, you didn't know it was going to happen here at Kent Lake. So
you never know, right?
Tie on that drop shot and give it hell.
Like I said, I'm just a stubborn Pollock, so I'm not going to give up.
There you go.
How's the river fishing? Like, is it a deep river, shallow river? Or how's it, you know, it change depending on weather, of course, but.
I mean, I've never really checked it out. So I couldn't tell you. I've heard that it's deep and then there's some skinny water involved. But I'm just going to do what I always do and just kind of show up with, you know, 1 or 2 days of pre-fishing it and just kind of wing it.
Well, we wish you the best, Mike, for sure.
Yeah, it's worked out for you this so far this year, man. Congrats.
Yeah, I'm excited. So doing a lot better this year than I ever have. And I'm having a lot more fun, too.
Heck yeah. Bringing a check every once in a while makes things easier go with the wife, you know.
Oh, so. Absolutely. She's already planning stuff for that money. So,
oh Lord, she finally gets a little bit back.
Yeah,
all of it for the most part. Right?
she thinks that, you know, she's invested into it too. So I think that her cut's 90%.
There's your sponsor right there.
Yeah.
As long as she lets you keep going, man, it's worth it.
Absolutely.
All right, dude. Well, congrats and good luck on the rest of the year and the Angler of the Year Championship. And we'll be rooting for you.
Awesome. We'll have you for sure.
Yeah, man.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Later, Mike.
Pleasure, Mike.
Bye.
All right. And we'll go over a few tournaments that we had here last weekend. We had Minnesota Kayak Fishing Association. They were on Cross Lake. 50 anglers. Jason Elms with 80 and a half won it. Troy Kruger with 74 and a quarter. And Sombath Herr with 72 and a quarter. Indiana Kayak Anglers, they were on Tip a Canoe. That was like what Armando was doing. Tipping his canoe or the shoulder. 46 inches, 46 anglers.
Got to throw it in.
Yeah, sorry. First place, Justin Long, 75 and a quarter. Logan Doopy with 74 and a three quarter. Sorry if I said that wrong, man. And Michael Evans with 72 and a quarter. Why do you have that Alabama guy like reading off people's names? It's such a terrible idea. Fishing for Mountain Mission, Mountain State kayak anglers, 85 anglers. And we probably would have had them on since it was 85, but we just had some West Virginia folks on not too long ago.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You can only handle so much West Virginia at one. I'm kidding, Mark. Don't DM me. Lane Winners won that with 79 and three quarter. Storm Carver in second with 77 and a quarter. And Chris Schaefer with 76 and a quarter. And New York KBF, Sodus Bay, 35 anglers. Vince Lawyer with 91 and a half. Forrest Buchanan in second with 85 and a quarter. And Stephen Mitchell with 82 and a quarter. So that was all the 35 angler and up tournaments this week. It seems like it's been a big, man, if you look at Tourney X, much lower turnouts. I don't know if it's gas prices being up or it's summer and people just have a lot going on, but I swear the last few weeks looking at, you know, maybe people see a recession coming, so they're saving money, but looking at Tourney X, it is obviously turnout is low. So I don't know what's going on, but
well, Mike kind of hit it on the head as well. It's a lot. I know I haven't fished the locals because I've kind of focused on the national. And there's, you know, right now I'm looking forward to Lake Darnell. That's 6-hour drive. I mean, gas prices thankfully are dropping a little bit. And even though it's Texas, which is gas is pretty cheap. I think it's the cheapest in all in the lower 48s. But still, man, it's a big investment. And everything is just more expensive now, even parts and, you know, it almost seems like you need quite a few sponsorships just kind of help you with the cost of everything.
Yeah, I'm about to. I've been doing KFL stuff for so long that I'm about to make a trip to North Carolina and then one to Okeechobee. So I'm about.
Okay,
to
let me ask you this: if you can KFL, and I don't want to drag this too much because I know you're tired, but what happened to the Bandits, man?
You have to show up for events. It's funny. Like people get on KBN. I love KBN. Not talking bad about KBN, but everybody who has something to say or wants to stir the pot or anything else, it goes on KBN and they blow it out like it's something that it wasn't. Look, they were offered. I don't know all the details, but I'm an owner. I'm one of the people that voted to kick them out. Because you have to show up to events. You're in the middle of the season. There was a vote. You're in the middle of the season. And you're not out of the playoffs. And you decide you're still technically not out of the playoffs. They still could have made it. And they said, we're not going to fish this event. You can't. You're not. Like what other team in any other sport can just say, we forfeit. We're not worried about the playoffs this year. You know, there's no draft. It's not like you're tanking for Tua or you're trying to get a better draft selection by doing worse. They didn't share. They said they were given an option. You have to send at least one person to this event or you're going to be banned. We cannot have teams just not go to events because there's a lot of the win point differential is one of the deciding factors. For the playoffs, first it's record, head-to-head record, and then win-loss percentage. So by them not going, they skew the win-loss ratio way off, so people have to go. And they were given a chance. Are you going to send one person, or are you going to be banned? Because we cannot have teams forfeiting. They said, we'll be banned. So They had a choice. They were given a choice, and they decided not to do it.
I can't remember, and I'm not going to ask you because I don't want to put their names out there. I can't remember who's on the Team Bandits, but I'm pretty sure it's some of my considered friends or at least known acquaintance. So
yeah,
you know, and I haven't heard their story, but I will say this.
There's great anglers and people that I respect on that team. Me and the Alabama Hammers went there last year, and we put up 195, I think. And they beat us with like 214 on Fairfield.
They came in second place overall, right? Yeah. So here's the thing about it. And again, I don't want to pick on my friends from the Bandits and all that. But there's this thing is you have to look at the big picture. And if you want KFL to grow, especially if you're from Texas, you got second place last year. You still have a shot at the playoffs. You actually made money last year.
Yes.
Show up. Because here's the problem now, and perception is everything. For better or worse, KBN Group 8 is the biggest. Aside from KBF, but then KBF is anybody can join KBF versus KBN. It's a little bit more policed, believe it or not. But I mean, it's a bad look. So now it becomes the joke of kayak fishing. And then with KFL is no longer, hopefully it'll stay there. But when things like this affect it, it gives it a negative connotation. And all of a sudden, 2 years from now, there's no KFL. Bite the bullet.
There will be KFL because another team already took their place. Natural State.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the overall perspective of KFL. Like right now, that post came up on KFL because, of course, on KBN, because, of course, it's going to be shared. And all of a sudden, you get, the laughing stock of kayak fishing is KFL because of that. Everybody's mocking it. And it's not a good look, regardless. It's KBN. It's still not a good look.
All those people that were mocking it are the same people who were mocking it before this happened. It didn't matter. It didn't change. Another team already filled in. There's already other teams that want to sign up for next year. Look on KBN. Go back and look at the people who are talking bad about it. It's not like I'm trying to stand up for it because it's not perfect.
Well, you should. You're in KFL. You should stand up for it.
But I'm not standing up for it because I think there should be changes. I think in this certain situation, you cannot like the KFL. It's not for everybody. That's totally fine. But you can't say what else could Greg do?
Oh no, I'm not saying Greg did anything wrong. I'm not putting it on Greg. I'm putting it, and again, I love the guys from Bandits. I know a few of them and I love them. And I haven't talked to him. I don't know, the reasons. I'm just going by what I've heard. And my thought is I love him, but you need to show up because if you don't take it seriously, first of all, you come off as a sore loser. Oh, we're not showing, so whatever. Well, come on, man. You made it. You were the second best team last year. You won money just because you seemed like you're out of the race right now. Whatever internal affairs you have to just like look at the big picture and say, we don't want – if you as a team don't take it seriously, people in the outside looking in, regardless of their opinion, they're not going to take it seriously. The ones that maybe thought – okay, we'll give it a chance. They might be like, well, they don't even take it seriously. Why should I? And the ones that are going to hate, they're always going to hate. But now you're giving fuel to the fire kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, them last year, I don't know how much they won. But it was probably $10,000 or $15,000. And then you didn't save up enough money to send one person. Y'all could have pulled your money and sent one person to Oklahoma to go fish and then still stayed in it. No, they made a choice. And also on top of that, I don't know. I don't want to go on about it. It was a silly thing to do. Why, you won last year. You made a bunch of money. If they were having problems where they couldn't have sent people, they didn't make any roster changes. They could have made two roster changes and added people if they didn't have enough people to send. So if you have people who can't go because you have a kid or because somebody's sick or injured or isn't available, you could have gotten rid of two people and added two more people to the team, people who could have went to Oklahoma, and they didn't do that. So they had other options. They were given an option that they could send one person before they got banned, and they didn't do either. I like some of those guys. I respect some of those guys. I think it was a poor decision.
I agree. Know. And again, we love them, but we can always agree to disagree as long as we're not calling names or anything like that. So out of respect, out of respect for everybody at the Bandits. But yeah, going by what I've heard, and again, I haven't heard directly from any of them. It seems it's a bad look, at least at the very least.
It's not that I know all the details, but I know enough details to know it's not the decision I would have made, it just isn't. So, no. All right. But we appreciate everybody watching as always. Armando, thanks, bud. Thanks for filling in.
I appreciate it, man. I hope I don't talk too much.
No.
I always feel bad.
You talk the perfect amount. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that, man. You're welcome, man, to the Bass Kayak and Beers podcast anytime, buddy.
Yeah, have me on sometime. How about that?
Not that long ago. Okay, want to be my next guest?
Sure.
Next week.
I'm happy to be on anytime. We'll just team up. We'll just do the show. Either you come on this show or I'll come on that show, and we'll just be teammates from now on. Just
there we go.
Let me know. All right.
And just so you know, if you're ever in Texas, you better invite me to go fishing with you.
You in Alabama too. If you ever
go to Alabama, I'll let you know.
If you ever go through Alabama and want to go fishing at Gunnersville, hey, I'm your man.
Who wouldn't call you?
All right. Yeah, y'all be good. We'll see y'all next week, and wear your PFDs as always. Later.
Peace out, everybody.
Wrong one. Here we go.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode here on Paddle and Fin. Be sure to drop a 5-star rating, a thumbs up, or smash that subscribe button on any platform you're listening in on. Be sure to check us out on Waypoint TV, waypointtv.com. Make sure you sign up for the Fantasy Kayak Fishing League at paddleandfin.com/fantasy. You could support this show through Patreon, patreon.com/paddleandfin. Don't forget to check out the website, paddleandfin.com. Catch us on YouTube. If you got a question, comment, or want to see a future guest on the show, be sure to email us at paddleandfin@gmail.com. Shout out to our show supporters, Yak Gadget. You can check out all the fine kayak accessories at yakgadget.com. Pelican Professional. For all your cases, coolers, and lighting needs, go to pelican.com. Rocktown Adventures. Your Midwest premier paddle sports destination, go to rocktownadventures.com. Eastport Marina, the beautiful destination on Dale Hollow Lake. If you're looking for lodging, kayaks, kayak accessories, or anything fishing related on the beautiful Dale Hollow Lake, go to eastport.info. And Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and fill your tackle boxes today.